No. Okay, right, I think we're ready to go. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the ALAC meeting with registrars on Wednesday, the 16th of March, 2011. The time is just past 1500. It's 1507 local time. And first, a point of housekeeping. When you speak, could you please give your name before you speak? This is required for the transcripts or for translation purposes, where it's always the same person translating all of the voices. So it's very difficult to make sense of who is speaking if there is no there's no name in your discussion.
Especially for those interpreting the voices, indeed it is. You said translating.
Did I do again? Right, okay, pill. So that's one thing. The other thing is speak well into your mics because otherwise the interpreters cannot hear you. And if there are any comments in the audience, people that are behind me, I don't even know who's... Okay, everyone behind, then would they please shout, and then we'll have a mic that can be flown over to them or alternatively taken to them by hand. Anyway, I think we should start right away, and we've got a pretty open agenda. The main part on the agenda is the discussion of whether registrars should provide information that the ALAC could aggregate for general use of interest to consumers and for outreach and education. It's an open question. If we run out of questions and answers on this, we will be able to talk about other things. I don't know if Mason has got any other points he wants to bring into the conversation, but we'll see that. Anyway, the floor is open.
Olivier, thank you. First of all, on behalf of, Mason Cole speaking, Chair of the Registrars. First, I want to say thank you again to the ALAC for hosting us for a discussion. We've done this now for several meetings in a row. We always appreciate the feedback of the user community, and so thank you for having us. To open on your agenda item, I wonder if you might elaborate a bit more about the sorts of consumer education outreach that you're planning. That might help us narrow the conversation to where it's most appropriate.
Evan Leibovich.
Hi. Evan Leibovich, Vice Chair of ALAC. Some things like consumer information akin to a standardized way, for instance, of dealing with certain consumer or registrant-oriented things. Earlier in the week, we dealt, for instance, with the post-expiry domain name issue. And that ended up being a very hot thing, and that is clearly something that may be different from registry to registry and registrar to registrar of how that's dealt with. And so, for instance, as an end-user, registrant, consumer issue, it would be nice to have a way that we can talk to people about how to be better informed about how to find out what policies are, to let them know that there is policies that can vary, and to better inform themselves about. How to make decisions based on different kinds of policies. Post-expiry is one of them, but there are others that may occur to you, too.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Mason?
No, I was just going to ask if there was anything else in that same category.
Perhaps I can help. Cheryl speaking. Cheryl Langdonor. We need better educated registrants. I think both sides of supply and demand have understood that, and coming out of the PEDNA, it's been painfully obvious that getting simply understood language out to the edges is something that would be something we can help with. Now, if some of you have such resources and without somehow becoming anti-competitive, we can help get that resource puddle, randomly associated, rolling through. I don't care how it happens. I just think most of us care that it does happen. So let's not narrow down on specifics, but it needs to be simple, easily understood, concise, and able to be taken into the vast numbers of languages that we actually work with. We would be looking for material that can be used in webinars, in podcasting, in web radio, in hard copy, stuck on thumb drives, We need to find in our outreach whatever tool works to get to the community. So a number of our communities, and I might just ask Darlene, if you don't mind, to just talk for a moment about yours, because I think it's a wonderful example of how ICT reaches some pretty special spaces. And, it, I mean, it's not brilliant bandwidth, so if we could have different forms of material, it would probably make your upskilling of your community. So if you don't mind me stealing the chair role for a moment, I'd love to just everyone understand what Darlene's community does and works with.
Well, as any of you heard my presentation on Monday, I'm from Nunavut, which is Canada's most northern territory. It's over 2 million kilometres big. It's one-fifth of Canada's landmass, and there's only 30,000 people there. And they're dotted across there in like 25 communities. There are no roads linking any communities to each other or to the south. So everything's flying, everything's hideously expensive. Long distance, you know, if you want to keep track of family and other communities, it's long distance calls. So we heavily rely on the internet, and unfortunately, we don't have good bandwidth. So streaming audio, I tried to catch a Sierra conference through, you know, using Adobe Connect, and it was so broken up. It was really, really hard to follow. So, I mean, the internet is so important up there, and bandwidth issues are huge. Is that what you wanted, Cheryl?
I mean, obviously, registrars have stuff on their sites. Our issue is not everyone we'd like to make sure is savvy, and they're becoming a registrant for whatever. I mean, these communities can need domain names because they've got particular uses for that, particularly in language communities, as we just heard, that this is a special language community as well. So we'd like them well prepared as potential registrants, not badly prepared, and getting it off the internet actually is not always as easy. There might be copyright issues we need to chew over. There might be all sorts of things.
Of course, if I may add, this goes all in line with the current at-large idea of going closer to the edges and closer to the actual users out there, so they get to know not at large only, but ICANN, and get to know what domain names are all about. So. Yeah. Okay, Mason.
So if I understand the feedback so far, registrars are in a position to assist the at-large community or the user community in almost every scenario. The first interaction we have with a registrant or a potential registrant is on the transaction of the registration of a domain name. That may or may not include other services like hosting or email or internet service provision or things of that nature. But if I understand, what you're hoping for is to have the registrar channel help educate users of online services, no matter what they are, but particularly domain names themselves, about, I don't know, the proper care and feeding of a domain name so that it's not misused, so it doesn't become a source of a problem, so it's not unintentionally lost. Things like this. Do I have that right?
Renewal, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Sorry, please. All right, we'll start with Evan then.
If it's a follow-up, I gladly want to hear you. I have something slightly related, but a little different.
It's definitely on item one, and I think it's a follow-up.
If you could say your name, please.
Sorry, James Blaydell, Registrar, GoDaddy.
Thank you, James.
So I think it's a follow-up, but it could also be a new topic. So I would yield to Evan if that's helpful. Unless we're going to go on to item two, then I would want to speak.
I will be too nice to each other. Evan first, and then James.
Thank you, Oliver.
Okay, another part of the consumer education component of this is also having to do with the role of resellers, which is, in some areas, a very, very gray area to consumers. When are they dealing through a reseller? When are they dealing directly with a registrar? In some cases, does this differ a whole lot from registrar to registrar on how you deal with resellers, what their responsibility is to deal directly with the registrant, to what extent you deal directly with them for things like consumer complaints? Do they go through the reseller who then has to go to you? Do they go directly to you? Excuse me for the purposes of the interpreters if I'm speaking too fast, but essentially, this is also a very, very big end user issue in terms of who is the main point of contact at the registrant end. Who are they dealing with for the purposes of either complaints, adherence to ICANN policy? Is there issue in dealing with the reseller? Do they have an expectation to know that the reseller will be as up on ICANN policy as you are? How do you deal with this, and how can this help from a registrant education perspective?
Thank you, Evan. James?
Thank you, and this is probably going to sound like a non sequitur, so bear with me on that. But there's one issue, and I think that I agree in principle with the idea about educating consumers in an outreach effort. I think that's something that we discussed in Cartagena, and that's when I made my jokes about the Super Bowl, et cetera. So, but I think that there's a concern that I have with the way this is being proposed, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that registrars would provide data that for the ALAC to aggregate. And I think that the key thing here is that I think depending upon the nature of the data or information or statistics, unless we're just talking about fact-checking some FAQs, you know, I think that that would make some folks concerned that it might expose product performance things to competitors that we may not be really keen on sharing. So I think that, you know, we'd have to figure out how that's going to work and who's going to aggregate that data in order to sanitize that so that you can't glean competitive information from the information. Thanks.
I did, Cheryl, again speaking, I did use the word anti-competitive for that very good reason, and how this material comes to us, we really don't mind, but we certainly don't want to step in a quagmire. We're trying to build a relationship between supply and demand, not muck it up.
Cheryl, you didn't say your name, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. Well, Cheryl will say her name now, Cheryl again. And, for example, one of the examples, when we put SAC 44 in front of the average punter, they glaze over by page one. Okay? We'd like to work on getting that easily digestible and transferable information, very useful information, out to the edges. We have no idea because we don't troll all your places and spaces. You may already have resources or options there. You might be doing things on that. I don't know. Are you educating your people on SAC 44? Don't know, but a communication or a portal where we could discover those sorts of things or a more regular sharing of what's happening might help. So it's early conversation days, but that's a typical example. It's designed to help registrants protect themselves. And you give it to the average registrant, and they'll go, "Baha, what?"
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Tim? Oh, well, Mason?
Mason Cole again. I think it would be helpful for registrars to know how specifically you make an effort to reach end users with education efforts. Is there a channel that the ALAC uses to communicate with end users? And if so, how does that work?
Well, we certainly have our distribution lists, and many of our at-large structures are actually in their that's what they do formally. I mean, that's what they're there for. So they interface with us, and obviously information goes both ways. We learn about what's happening locally, and the locals learn about what's happening at ICANN at large. That's the way it was.
So, Mason Cole again. So I have 2 points. I will not forget to use my name, and I will. And after Darlene's story, I will never complain about my commute again. But how many end users do you communicate with regularly? How big a section of the internet ecosystem is it?
Alan?
I'm not going to answer the question directly, but I'll answer it indirectly. As Olivier said, this organization is the group around this table is the top of a pyramid. There are regional organizations below it and then local organizations. But in most countries, we may have one group of people, which may be 30 people, maybe 3,000, depending on the organization. We only touch a small percentage of end users around the world. And we are not a well-funded outreach organization to do nonprofit advertising around the world. We do have a select group of people. They, in turn, have other connections. And if we're really successful, we'll get a message out to that group of people. The IRTP report is out for comment right now, and one of our comments in that is going to be the ALAC is identified as the communication channel to communicate with users. Well, we're delighted to be a communication channel to the extent of our great ICANN funds allow and our volunteer contribution, but we are not in a position to be the communication channel to users around the world. And if someone said we were, thank you very much for the great public relations, but that's not quite us yet. Maybe someday.
Thank you very much, Alan. Lutz?
Lutz Donager. Rudy's just told me that it's not quite correct what Alan said. Usually the people who are active in ALAC are people who are active in a very, very expressive way. So you can assume that people who survived the hierarchy of ALAC are people who have an impact in their local community and reach more people than they represent.
Thank you very much for this precision, Lutz. Mason?
So, Alan, that was a good description about the top of the pyramid. One of my questions would be, is there any idea how many people, even a ballpark figure, are at the bottom of the pyramid? And if you don't know, that's fine. I'm curious.
Thank you, Mason. I was going to say 2 billion, but I'll let Cheryl answer that one.
I'm not going to, Cheryl Langdon, or I'm not giving a very specific answer, but I can give you a slice down the pyramid, if that helps. All right? And I'm hoping that some of our regional leaders with their own ALSs might come forward with their own stories. We have at-large structures who, whilst small, are the sole outreach activity for ICT centres and rollout and build-out as actual infrastructure, as well as education within their countries. That's not uncommon in, for example, our African ALSs. We have 130 at-large structures. Right? One of those at-large structures reaches out if a particular at-large structure from Asia Pacific gives back a member-based survey, their member base is 11,000. Now, the ISOC AU maintains as a national, that's the at-large structure I belong to, maintains as part of what is now known as the peak body of peak bodies, ACAN, count up how many people use communications in Australia, and that's how many we can reach out to. So it does vary. It goes from the very much grassroots stuff, which is fit for purpose for that ALS. But what we're looking for is something to put in these people's toolkits. They're out there, they're educating, they're talking, they're interfacing. Let's see if we can get them something that is usable.
Thank you, Cheryl. Stanton?
Thanks, Olivier. This is Stanton Hammock at Network Solutions. I'm interested in hearing more about what kind of information the people that you'd like to outreach to would like to receive. I'm looking at the ICANN website, and we're talking about, you know, information about how to register a domain name and that sort of thing. And there's FAQs on the website that actually address these kinds of questions. How do I register a domain name? How long does a registration last? How can it be renewed? That sort of thing. And I was wondering what here is maybe not sufficient in your mind, as far as, you know, basic information about domain name registration that we could provide or maybe somehow supplement.
Cheryl?
As Cheryl Langdonor, and I'm about to leave the room, but I just want to catch that, why would you even know about ICANN if you're just deciding about getting a domain name? It's not the first port of call that one doesn't go, oh, dear, here I am in some obscure place. Yeah, it's proactive education, bringing up the general skill set stuff. So Something I've done in one or two work groups is take people's attention to a set of podcasts and things that AUDA did. So as the regulator of the .au space, they've put out some business basics and some general population basics. We've got it on CD, we've got it on, you know, you get hats, you do everything, we just give it out. So, you know, you go to your accountant, they'll have some. You go to your lawyers, they'll have some. You know, we haven't got them into the post offices yet, but we're trying to. So it's that type of thing. It may not be new information. It's a dissemination process, and in an easily digestible, sometimes fun and amusing manner. I do apologise. I do need to be in another room. Sorry.
Thank you, Cheryl. We've got Alan.
I agree that a lot of the questions that need to be answered are addressed in the ICANN website. As we discussed with some of the board members today at lunch, the ICANN website is not the friendliest, user-friendliest thing in the world to find. What's more, anyone here run a business on the Internet? Anyone? Have you ever heard the concept SEO, search engine optimization? No one in ICANN has, as far as I can tell. If you do searches and try to get information on registration and how to find the good guys, you're not likely to turn up an ICANN.org reference that is useful to you. There's a lot of things we need to fix.
Thanks, Alan. Next in the queue, we have Carlton Samuels.
Carlton Samuels, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I've been listening to the argy-bargy back and forth. And I'm trying to figure out what is it. Here's what I see. The resellers, the issue is there are people who do business at the edge to become a part of the infrastructure that is the Internet, and they go through some people called resellers. Resellers are acting as agents of registrars. There is a duty of care, I believe, for registrars to make sure that their resellers are representing them in the best way possible. That is to say, in keeping with the dictates of the Better Business Bureau or some of these more well-known constructs in the Western world. At the edge, like where I come from, out in the Caribbean, in Jamaica to be specific, we do business with resellers, and some of them are bad actors. I believe for your good names, you have a duty of care to police them. I don't believe you need anything more than that to protect your good name. I think it is in your interest to protect your good name.
Thanks very much, Carlton. Next in the queue is James. James Bladell.
Hi, thank you, James. Thank you. Just to address that, I think that there's no question that we need to make sure that we're minding our resellers. In fact, there's an incentive for registrars to do that. No registrar is able to abdicate responsibilities under the RAA or consensus policies by saying, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't me, it was a reseller. It may make tracking that down a little bit more confusing, but ultimately the registrars are responsible for their resellers, and it's stated as such in the newest version of the RAA. But going back to, I think, Darlene's example earlier of the newest territory, that's a very large, very inaccessible, sounds cold, inhospitable area with a small population, and I'm guessing a slightly smaller potential market for registrars. In a competitive marketplace, that is exactly the type of population that would be ignored by large carriers. In some respects, the presence of a healthy reseller ecosystem ensures that different areas like that that might be disregarded by large market forces will have access to some level of services. But, of course, due diligence on the part of the customers and on the part of the sponsoring or parent registrar is always important.
Thanks very much, James. Any other? Dave Kissendoyle.
I'm going to be a bit blunt. That's why I'm going to speak on my personal capacity. Registrars, you are among the persons and the entities making the money. At large, we represent the end users. Help us in our outreach activities in the long run.
We don't represent. We act in the best interest of the end users. We can't pretend to represent them as such, strictly speaking.
Okay. My message is that, okay, help us in our outreach activities. In the long run, it is you who are going to benefit from it. Thank you.
Any response?
Mason Cole speaking. We agree. You're absolutely correct. May I, Olivier? So I've been taking notes since we've been talking. I think there are two main issues that have come up. One is, how do we take care of customers in a way that educates them so that they can act in their own best interest and avoid problems that arise on the internet, and in our capacity avoid problems with domain name registrations. The other is the frustrations or questions about the reseller model that we've heard this before when we've met with the ALAC, and I know that there are concerns in other parts of the community about resellers. So that's very strong input. I think that's what I've captured so far. Have I missed anything? I just want to make sure I'm being accurate here. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Sandra Hoffer-Richter.
Sandra Hoffer-Richter speaking. I'm sorry. Just in response to what has been said here so far, I'd like to add, or maybe only make that not clearer. When we are having conferences, events, outreach activities to the end user, which definitely everybody of ALAC involved people have, it is always very useful if you can open a seminar, a conference, whatever, with a small video type. This has not be in a language. This can be like a small movie without any words. But it would be very helpful if we can actually open any kind of event with such a small video. I'm using this for my events, and there are various movies already on YouTube, in the internet, wherever. And if we would have something like this for registrars as well, it doesn't have to be in many languages. It can be without words, explaining without words. This would be, in my point of view, very helpful.
Thank you, Sandra. Rudy van Snick.
Rudy van Snick from Urolo. I think that we have to make a little... on defining end user and consumer. A consumer is someone who buys something. And an end user is somebody who may be using what a consumer has been buying, and especially in the domain name space, this is a big difference. An end user is not necessarily interested in having a domain name, but is looking for spaces where he can find, he or she, can find information that is of value. And the difficulty in trying to recognize that the owner of the domain name, who is the consumer, is the right person he is addressing? Is it the person who is delivering correct information? Is it a recognizable organization or structure on which he can count on and can be sure that the information he finds there is correct information? That's, I think, one of the difficulties we have to discover. When, for instance, I'm speaking in Belgium to our members, our organization has 13,000 members, actually. They came to us because of the fact that they had some difficulties with their provider. That was the main reason of coming to our association. And that's what I see also. You will have a lot of people standing up when they have issues, when they have problems, and then they come to us. If we could go to them before they have to stand up with the issue, that would help us. And I think one of the added values we have to bring now is explaining an end user the meaning of a domain name and the reason why that end user should maybe become a consumer in order to participate in the digital world we are living in today.
Thank you, Rudy. Next, we have Alan.
I think I support most of what Rudy was just saying, but I must dispute the terminology. The board has specifically asked ALAC, GNSO, and I think some other groups to define what consumer means in terms of ICANN. There are those of us who believe consumer, from the point of view of ICANN, is a consumer of internet cycles. If you're a user, if you use the domain name system, if you happen to use an IP address implicitly, you are a consumer from ICANN's point of view. That may not be the definition which ends up winning in this discussion that will take place over the next N months. But for many of us, consumer already means the end user. So we have to be careful about our terminology here.
Thank you, Alan. Next in the queue, do you wish to respond or no? Okay, next in the queue is Lutz Donnerhacker.
I had to fully agree with that the term consumer is not defined yet in the context of ICANN, and understand that everybody, everything which deals or deals not with everything with or without internet. It's a very broad thing, just saying, might be everything.
Thank you, Lutz. Mason.
All right. Thank you. This is very informative. I propose an idea, if I may. Before we all gather again in Singapore, how about if registrars put together an idea for educating end users or contributing to your education effort in some productive manner? I'm not sure what form that'll take. We can throw you three or four ideas, perhaps, see what might make sense. And one thing that may be useful as well for us would be if there's a way to measure. I'm not sure how this would be done, but if there's a way to measure the general awareness of the user or consumer community, whichever one is most appropriate, today versus what it's like after the education effort, that would be very instructive to us. It would help us with our own customer relationships, and I think would also help us refine the effectiveness of any program that we collaborate on.
Thank you, Mason. And I see quite a few nodding heads around the table, so it looks like there is much agreement here. Evan, did you want to? Evan Lipovich.
Hi. Not only do I think that's a great idea, we even have some people to talk to at large, in the sense that just this week we created a new working group on end user trust that was based on the AOC and board directions to get input on consumer trust issues. So we're actually taking an initiative on that, and so that would be an extremely good point of contact between now and Singapore.
Thank you, Evan. I wanted to respond to a comment that was made earlier by Stanton with regards to the documents and all the information available to potential applicants in the FAQ part of the ICANN website. I don't know how you found the FAQ, but I had difficulty finding it. We all know the website is a mix between information for policy, information for registrants, registrars, registries, the whole everything mixed together. I know they're working on this, but at the moment it's just not something that one can find any information in. If you don't know anything about domain names, and if you're just the odd potential customer who wants to get a domain name. Stanton.
I agree with that point and the one that Cheryl made that, you know, most people who aren't familiar with domain names won't even know what ICANN is. But most people, well, this is an overgeneralization, but people do use the internet to find out information. And if you typed in domain names, you could probably get a million websites that talk about domain names and how to register and where to register and whatnot. So, you know, what more... what information, what information or how could it be presented in a way that's different from the internet or something like that is what we're trying to look for, right?
But that's certainly something which I think we can all work on. And outreach is one of these things that At Large is really working on at the moment and pushing for. It's a strategic thing. We want to go further out there. We want to get that information over to end users and to get more end users involved. So it's both on involved in the policy process, but also educated themselves. Sorry, I don't know your name. Please say your name.
Frédéric Guillemot.
Okay, Frédéric.
I think at one point we also need to focus on what kind of information we should give, because when you're talking about domain names to end users, I mean, as registrars, our end users, for them, maybe it's hosting, URL forwarding, email. So what exactly do you really want us to give and to educate on DNS forwarding, on email, on expiry? So it really needs to give some focus.
Merci beaucoup, Frédéric. On peut aussi parler français ici. C'est l'avantage d'avoir les interprètes derrière.
Mais of having interpreters.
Rigole. Lutz first, and then it will be Sheva, and then we'll have Michele.
What can you expect from us? What we are expecting from you? That's difficult questions, of course. We are here to find out what we are doing, what we are seeing from each other, what we can provide. Maybe we can provide is feeling from the social society on internationalization, if an interface or use cases are not in the scope which we are expecting or we are feeling that it might be a problem. I do not want to talk about problems, but it's the usual case we are discussing here, everything. You might even have very good feelings on things which registrars are doing. We might have a feeling or we might find out if you are interested in what are the comments on a special change you propose. If you, for instance, say we do not want to have WHO services at all, my favorite item here, then it might be interesting to find out what the social community means on that. So you might get from the corporation with Alec, you might get some better commands or earlier commands in the policy-making process of ICANN instead of getting a discussion afterwards, which is hard to finalize and hard to find a compromise.
Thank you, Lutz. Sheva is next. Sheva Subramanian.
The end user education package should be in part commercial. So whatever information that you give out to the consumer, one part of it is actually educating the consumer. What is the domain name and what does it do? These are very, very basic information. And how to set up a domain name, how to set up email and so on. So this could be commercially beneficial to the person who provides that information. So when you explain how to set up a domain name or how to set up email, you actually probably be leading him to take up an email account with you or buy additional services. So this part is the commercial part, and there is a non-commercial part like how to secure your domain name and provide some additional information. And then third and most important thing that I would recommend is to tell the consumer or end user what he is getting into, what kind of agreement. So most agreements are not readable. So is there a way to paraphrase the agreement or to provide a gist of what they are getting into? And another thing that you could include is to clearly explain to them the difference between a CCTLD and a GTLD, and also probably the cost. Most domain names are sold on promotion, so it's not clear to the consumer what would be the cost on the second year and third year and so on. And most of the information that you provide would actually lead to some commercial transactions, some value-added transactions, so it's actually beneficial to the registrars.
Thank you, Shiva. Mason?
Thank you for that. That's very good input. I do have a question of ALAC, and it's this. Would it be – I think I heard something earlier about surveys or other data that's gathered from the user community or the consumers. Would it be possible to share some of that data with the registrars if we have a clearer idea about the frustrations that the end user community is using or is experiencing? I think we'll have we'll be in a much better position to try to help.
Thank you, Mason. That predates me. I'm going to have to check, and we'll have a look at what we have. Okay. Next, do you have an? Yes, Alan, please.
I don't believe ALAC has ever done anything like that itself. Some of our ALSs have done that, and do some of them do that on a regular basis. It's nothing that we have custody of. Now, that doesn't say we can't send out the message to say, if you have this kind of information, would you like to share it? But it's not something we've done to date anyway.
Yes, Mason.
Anything you have, I think, would be helpful. If it can be shared, you know, we'll take a look.
Okay, next in the queue we have Michele.
Thanks, Olivier. Sorry for coming in late. I was trying to work out why DNSSEC was a good idea. Next door, that was fun.
And you managed to come here?
They let me out eventually. I've been listening to conversations, and I've been kind of tracking this meeting from next door via the power of Twitter and instant messages and things like that. I'm having difficulty trying to understand exactly what it is that the ALAC is looking for in concrete, tangible, actionable terms. There's lots of people talking about they've got problems with this, they've got problems with that, they'd like to know this, they'd like to know that, and that's all lovely and fine, but it's rather fluffy and not concrete. You need something to be something concrete, and Evan's looking at me now. I know Evan is very good at telling people exactly what he wants, so is Olivier, but it's giving us something, a specific question, something specific that we can act on. I mean, it's fine to say that, as Carlton says, you know, in certain regions of the world, you have to deal with resellers. What exactly is the issue? Is it a case of you're not aware of who you're doing business with, which makes it a much broader problem than anything that any ICANN structure will ever be able to fix, because, you know, that moves into every online transaction imaginable? Or is it something concrete? That's what I'm trying to get my head around. And I'm not trying to be awkward. I'm just trying to get something that I can actually act on. Thank you.
Okay. Under the possible answer of be careful what you ask for.
Evan, you know I'm never worried about those kind of things.
This could take many forms. I mean, I have some specific ideas of forms that it could take, but it might not be appropriate. I mean, you have all sorts of things where you have collaborations where consumers are able to make informed decisions on similar things. I used the Pedner example at the beginning as one example of something where it would be good for consumers to know what the various policies are at different, depending on where they get their domain. If you buy a domain here and it expires, how much time do you have? And here and here and here to allow somebody to make an informed decision on what they're going to get. So, I mean, we've seen examples of this in other market sectors, such as nutritional information on foods that don't give away competitive information on secret ingredients while letting consumers make informed judgments. So there are a whole bunch of different approaches to this. All I'm interested in some kind of end result that allows consumers to be able to go beyond the just how do I do a domain and what are the basics and what are the mechanics, and allow for educated judgments on things a lot of consumers, a lot of registrants, when they get a domain, aren't even aware of the idea of, well, what happens when it expires? They're not even thinking ahead that far. And so there's issues like that that, at least in personal experience with people I've spoken to, come up and bite them in the butt at a certain point. And by the time there's a problem, they didn't even know that there was something they had to be worried about.
Thank you, Evan McKinney.
Sorry? No, just coming back to Evan on that. I mean, what Evan's saying makes perfect sense, and I don't have any issue with that. The problem I have is that a lot of the registrars already do publish a lot of the information. We do send out information to registrants. We send them information about all sorts of different things. But how do you get people to actually read the information that is there and actually act on it? Now, if it's a case of the information we're sending it the wrong way, in the wrong manner, we're wording it incorrectly, well, fine. I'm more than happy to listen to people. I'm more than happy to talk and engage with you. And I think it was Siva or somebody else suggested that this could also potentially lead to a sales opportunity, which I'm always in favour of as well. It's just, I suppose the thing I'm trying to say is that, you know, is there... Actually, I'm lost for words, which, as you know, Evan, is a rare occurrence. So maybe it's something that we can discuss over a beer or something. But I think it's good that there is some, you know, backwards and forwards between us.
Thank you very much, Michele. I see on the screen that we have Rob Golding. I'm not sure whether it's someone in the room or remotely. We have a mic somewhere.
Rob Golding. We've been registering .uk domains for 15 years. And in all of that time, we've had to inform these people because of our registration agreement with Nominet.
You could feel a bit better like this.
who Nominet are and all about the tripartite agreement. And in those 15 years, virtually every single person who doesn't already know about their domain name has got an email from Nominet confirming the domain name and rung us up and gone, who are these people? They really don't get it. And you're saying that you want to go and educate registrants about who ICANN are and the role that ICANN play in the domain name. It's never going to happen.
That's not what I'm asking for at all. A registrant doesn't have to know what ICANN is. Their main point of contact is still going to be with you.
Right.
But there are certain things that ICANN gets involved with, such as expiry policy, that definitely do affect what a registrant does. And how they choose what they choose.
How does that affect the registrant though? Their relationship is with who they bought the domain from.
I'm saying in terms of their ability to make a proper judgment about how they choose what domain they buy, either what registry they use, what registrar they choose, or anything like that, is going to be made based on choices that they make. And we're just trying to make sure that they have information on various policies that will differ between registries and registrars.
I still don't see how that's not the registrar's job to try and make themselves different from another registrar by giving 10 days expiry time instead of 12.
I get that. I'm just trying to say we used the term aggregate before. I don't know if that was appropriate, but somewhere where we can make it simple for people to be able to get that information to make an informed decision.
Thank you. Oh, I don't know why I've got this.
I end up with
maybe
up
you're
with
going to burst into song.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's bizarre. we're running out of time, so the queue is closed, but we've got Fatimata, Alan, and then Lutz, and Dave Kissendoyle at the end, and after that I think it'll probably be time for us to leave. So, Fatimata, please.
Merci. Thank you. Thank you, Oliver. I will be brief because last Evan's intervention sent the same thing I wanted to say. So what we would like to see is the rights and the duties of the consumers that are written in a clear language with examples from your own experience. If we have this, we are fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatimata. And now Alan, please.
All right. I'm responding in a very global sense to Michele. I walked into this meeting late, so I might have missed part, but I actually heard as many requests from registrars saying, what do you want from us? I heard the requests going in both directions, and that's, I think that's a good thing. I'm about to run back to the GNSO meeting, so I'll make a very flippant comment and then run. What I want and what I think ALAC wants is we want registrars to be viewed as the guys with the white hats, and the only interaction we want with you is to go out for a beer. Thank you.
Are you buying, Alan?
When we achieve the first part, yes, I'm buying.
You have witnesses, and this is being recorded.
Thank you, Alan, and I hope you've got a fat wallet, because there's quite a few people here who are waiting for you for a beer. But so next is Lutz.
To make a concrete question, how many and which registrars fulfill or use the WHO's national law procedure established in January 2008? Or why do the registrars do not apply for this special procedure and still give out the domain owner data to the WHO's to the registry? Thanks.
Thank you, Lutz. I'm not sure anyone wants to answer that, or we'll just put it on file, or...
Go ahead. Okay.
I've opened the door for you, but we do want an answer at some point, please. Michele.
I presume this is in relation to the European law, is it? I mean, just trying to understand where the question is coming from.
The question is coming from an European journalist asked me today about how many registrars are fulfilling this procedure, and it's coming from the WHO's review team. I'm in for at large. We unfortunately had no consultation with the registrar constituency today, but that's one of the arising questions here. From the social society, they say why we have information, public, private information, out in a public database accessible to everyone. And if we dig deeper, we find out that we already have procedures to protect end customers, and we see that the procedure is not used. And of course, we have to answer the question. The question comes to us. It comes not to you, it comes in most cases they come to those people which are hearing an internet head in their local community, so in most cases to somebody from ALS.
Thank you, Lutz. I think we'll kick this one into touch for the time being and get an answer. Michele, can we have an agreement? We'll work on that.
It's probably one which ICANN staff might be able to answer on this query. They might know who's actually applied for it. I mean, I can only tell you what we have or haven't done. I can't speak for anybody else, and I don't know if Mason would even know.
This is Tim Cole from ICANN. I don't want to just on the spot here, off the cuff, try to give you an answer on behalf of ICANN. However, if you are referring to the procedure, it's not a policy that was adopted that said, you know, how registrars can, when required to comply with local law, it is based on they have to be legally ordered to do something before that procedure even comes into play. And to the best of my knowledge, no registrar that is accredited by ICANN has ever had a legal procedure commenced against them requiring that they comply with WHO is.
I'm sorry, we're running out of time. We are over time. We've just got one more question or comment. It's from Dave Kusundoa.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. One way of collaboration is what we can give. I think the registrars, what you can provide is the what you have. You have websites. On your website, what you can do for us, is that okay? Join the at-large. I come from the African region. I can tell you that there are a lot of regions in Africa that that have not been tapped yet. So basically, somebody coming from Africa is the first person coming from that region, goes to your website, and then when it's incited to create an ALS to join the at-large, meaning you get the community from that that person. So I think one way of collaboration is to use your platform to ask people to join the at-large. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Any feedback on this?
No, on that specifically, no. It's an idea. I think we'll take it to our membership and discuss that. So are we closing?
Yes, we're closing, but I wanted to try and see if we can get an action item out of this meeting.
Well, I think so the action item I know that we're taking away is the one that I talked about earlier, which is before Singapore, we'll share three or four ideas about how to either open an education campaign or supplant the one that you, anything that you already have underway.
And I was hoping, this is Olivia, I was hoping to add to this the action item that registrars would come together and see what information they could actually bring forward to us to start working on it.
Sure,
together.
That's fine. And one action item I would ask from ALAC would be to identify any data from the end user community that could be shared with us.
Okay. Fine. I think everyone's happy with this. Thank you very much for coming to visit us. Thank you, Mason. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, James. I think James is gone already. We now have to leave for another meeting, so this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Join.
That looks like Rob Hurd after me. Unless there's a doppelganger, he's the...
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Bonjour tout le monde.
Everyone. I would like to invite the people from the back to come to the front. If the people behind me could come in on the front row so that we would don't need to turn all the time towards them. You would rather look at us from behind? I would like to see your face. I'd rather see your face. Says